And here we go! This is the Ignite Rock Podcast. This is your host, Ahmed Khalifa, and this is where I talk to creative individuals who have created some awesome stuff using WordPress. Welcome to the show, and thank you for joining me today. I am so shocked that you're spending your time here with me today on episode 6 of the Ignite Rock Podcast. Today, I will be talking to Steve Morgan, someone I know very well through my time meeting him at the conference and chatting to him on Twitter and so on, and that's how I originally got to know him on Twitter. Steve is a freelance SEO consultant, he's also a speaker, and he's a regular blogger, and who has been self-employed for over 3 years now. And obviously, Steve uses WordPress to manage his online presence and his business. So one, his business is Morgan Online Marketing, and also his blog SEO Know. If you want today's show notes, they are available on igniterock.com/episode 6. So sit back, relax, enjoy today's chat with Steve Morgan, and I'll catch you at the end of the interview. Here we go, everyone. I have Steven here on the line. I'm so excited to finally chat to him. We've been kind of chasing each other to find a time to chat to each other. But I'm very excited to have him on the line as well. He'll be talking to you a lot around the digital marketing, SEO, and of course, WordPress as well. So, Steven, thank you very much for coming on. Always appreciate your time. And I've mentioned in the introduction, I've seen you speak, I've seen you doing conferences, and I know you run your own business and stuff, but could you just explain briefly to the listeners who you are, your background, and how you got to where you are today?
Okay. Thank you for having me, Ahmed, first thing. So my name's Steve Morgan. These days I'm a freelance SEO consultant. I've been doing SEO for nearly 8 years now, I think it is, since early 2009. Kind of fell into it by accident. My brother started an agency in Cardiff, where I'm from, and that I was his first hire, and then took it from there to, he's grown it, a fair play, a few dozen employees now, I think. But I bounced around a little bit, so I did a stint at them, and inherited to Confused.com, back to Liberty. I worked in another agency called Box, and then went self-employed 3 years ago, and I had some people, we'll talk about this in more detail later, I'm sure, but in terms of how to look for the signs or when you're thinking of going self-employed. But I had a few people look at me like saying, oh, do you freelance? And if you do, oh, please let me know. So it got to a point where it felt quite like a natural, comfortable leap. Well, as natural, as comfortable as going self-employed can be, I guess, in terms of taking that plunge. So went self-employed and haven't looked back. So I've been doing it since the summer of 2013. Still doing it, here I am.
And I'm sure you're loving it as well. That's really good.
I am, yeah.
So you're saying that there was a moment that, you know, people were asking you about, oh, do you do freelancing, and they wanted your help on the side. I'm guessing that was the moment where you're thinking, maybe I should do that more often. Maybe I should really consider it as my full-time career.
I actually considered it a couple of years previously because I think it was when I left Confused.com and my parents are self-employed and my brother's self-employed. So I think I kind of grew up with all that, and I think it was inevitable that I was going to end up that way as well, especially not only seeing them do it, but also, you know, I knew that I could ask them for advice and help and things like that. But yeah, it did get to a point where I was at an agency job and I had a few people kind of saying that the agency I worked at was quite expensive, and these were like very small businesses who then, and to be fair, the agency didn't really target small businesses, they targeted like big global brands. So, you know, it wasn't any sort of conflict or competition anyway, but it got to the point where I think I had about 10 different people say, if you go self-employed, let me know. And what was interesting is I was being quite conservative, and I thought even if only like 3 or 4 of them come off, like, you know, it's inevitable not all 10 will do, then that'd be good. And it was actually fewer than that again. I think it was just one of those 10, and it was a small project. So what was interesting, and the mistake I made, was I literally left a full-time job on a Friday, and then literally the following Monday, I was like, right, freelance time. instead of, like, these days I warn people, I say, make sure you've maybe got a little bit of, like, you're already doing a little bit of freelance work in your evenings and weekends, just so that when you do make the leap, it's not from, you know, everything to nothing and then building it up. Because the first few months are quite tough.
Oh, if not always. No, I think it applies to anyone. You're not the only one who had it for, you know, a few months quite tough as well. So, I can definitely relate to that as well. But obviously, you know, the whole process, you know, you start building your own brand, you start your own, you know, getting your own presence online. And of course, you know, you have your own website. I know you have two of them. You know, you have your own business one, Morgan Online Marketing, and you have your SEO Know website as well. Good thing is they're both powered by WordPress, which is good.
Yes.
Why WordPress? What made you choose WordPress, and how was your experience with it?
That's a really good question. I don't actually know what the sort of... Because SEO Know, which is my blog, has been going for over 5 years now. And I can't actually remember the reason that when I sat down and said, right, I'm going to start a blog, why I chose WordPress. I think around that time, I also started going to Cardiff Blogs, which is a blogger meetup in Cardiff, obviously. And I got a feeling maybe... I can't remember if I started SEO Know, then went to the meetup or the other way around. But I think that chatting to people there, a few people said... you know, WordPress is the way to go. And I think I'd already heard and read, did my research and realized WordPress was the way to go. I actually started off with, the WordPress hosting group. So it started off before it was SEO Know, it was actually steviephil.wordpress.com. And Stevie Phil is also my Twitter handle, kind of like my nickname for things. And it was about 6 months, a year later that I went self-hosted and bought the domain seono.com. Okay, and I had no idea how to export it, so a friend of mine helped me with that, and sort of just kept going with that, really, and just kind of, it was a good move, I think, because back then I was still working in agencies, things like that, and I wasn't even doing much on-site stuff. I was primarily in the, working at my brother's company. I was more to do with link building on the SEO side of things, so we didn't really need to know about, you know, on-site considerations, but just having a blog helped me to learn so much more, because you're kind of doing it, and even though I was kind of treating it as a hobby, like, one example is I wrote a blog post that just happened to rank really well, and it still does today, and it still gets, I think, a few dozen searches a day, so it's quite popular, and just that in itself kind of made me look at things differently and think, oh, right, so, okay, if I write a blog post like this, that and the other, then these things will happen. And since then, so SEO Know is on WordPress. Then when I went self-employed, Morgan Online Marketing, I thought, well, that's got to be on WordPress as well. So I sought out a WordPress freelance designer to create that. And since then, I've actually created, I'm by no means a web designer, but I've created two sort of very simple WordPress websites. One of them was for my wife's uncle, who's a gardener. So I just bought like a template from somewhere like Theme Forest or one of those websites and just knocked that up. And that's performed quite well. And then the other one was I do some work for my parents' recruitment agency, and we did a big, like, sort of campaign for them about a year and a half ago. Because they don't have a blog on their website, which is something I've always said to them, you need to get sorted, and they haven't. So I got around the idea by having a sort of separate campaign website, which is a WordPress blog, and we were publishing content on there. So. So WordPress is that kind of thing where I just think I'm kind of used to it now, and kind of I've got an idea for a few other websites. One of them, weirdly enough, is just like a music blog, but it's with a certain angle to it, and I'm just thinking, yeah, it's great, you know, just, you know, create a WordPress blog. It's once you know what you're doing, it's terrifying at first. Like, I had no idea what I was doing, but now that I know what I'm doing, it's really, like, you know, it's one of those things where you just kind of just get on with it and do it, and it's all fine and it's all great. So yeah, it's funny actually, because I've had quite a few conversations with people recently about, you know, I still meet people who say they don't like WordPress, and I'm like, what's wrong with you? And some people say, oh, we want to use Squarespace, or we want to use, Ghost is one. And there's another one that's apparently known as the WordPress killer called Craft. And, exactly. Nobody actually says it all. It's like, all right then, you know,
yeah.
You try. But, it's just funny how, like, you know, over the years, like, I just can't fault WordPress, and, like, I love it, and I just use it for everything, and whenever even the kinds of clients I take on, like, if I hear a client and they say, I say, so what's your website on? And they say WordPress, I'm like, phew. Like, you know, now I know that I can really do some good stuff with it. But if they turn around and tell me it's something random, like something I've never heard of, or worse, it's like, you know, create themselves or it's a bespoke CMS. That's when I get started to get the panic sets in.
Oh yeah. Definitely. I think people underestimate how hard it is to create your own CMS. It is a gigantic project for anyone to do. So I think for most people, unless you have a million-pound budget, not really worth it. So stick to WordPress. But one of the key points that you've made, you said you used to have like a WordPress.com website. And obviously for most people who doesn't know, when you have WordPress.com, you don't necessarily own a website and it's not yours. And then you change over to self-hosted. Which is from WordPress.org, you have your domain, you control everything, and I think most people are confused about the difference between the two, but you've done it, so.
Yeah, the reason for me was I didn't realize there was a difference, and well, other than the domain issue, but then I looked into domain mapping, which you can do on the .coms, you can still have it, say, SEO.uk, but still use WordPress's own solution, their version of it, where it's hosted by them, and I thought, oh, that's job done then. And it wasn't until I wanted to add plugins. So obviously I'd heard lots of things about Yoast SEO. And I was like, so how do I add plugins? And then I did the research and I was like, oh, okay, I need to go self-host it. So that was the kind of moment for me. And I think that's kind of, I chat to people, especially where I'm based. I'm based in a co-working space in South Wales. And I'll chat to people and they'll say like, oh, I'm on WordPress, but I can't add plugins. And I'm like, I know why. I mean that, my friend. So, yeah, that was the big thing for me. It was like, it felt like I didn't have full control and flexibility on everything I wanted to do.
So I don't know if it's, you can share it with us, but what is your long-term goal in terms of both of your website? I mean, you've had your SEO for 5+ years and then you have your business one for 3+ years. Yeah. What's your long-term goal? Do you have any vision of where you want to go with them?
To be honest, I do and I don't. It's kind of, I'm happy to see where things go, but at the same time, I have got a couple of ideas. So, the reason they're separate for a start is one, well, the simple one is I didn't want to have the headaches of migrating everything across just in case something went wrong. And also, SEO now is quite informal at times. It's got some really daft posts on it. So one of them is, caricatures of Matt Cutts, the former head of spam at Google. Another one is, if you're familiar with the graphic novel and or the film Watchmen, Rorschach, one of the characters, has a journal, and I've got a post called Rorschach's SEO Journal, where I've then changed some of the words from it to, as if he's an SEO, talking about like, there's a line in it that's something like, oh, the sewers and the cesspits of the, you know, the scumbags and this, that, the other. And I've said the sort of sewer of the test pits of the article spinners and the black hats and that kind of angle. So anyway, sorry, I'm digressing. The blog is very sort of tongue-in-cheek. It's informal. Like I said, it was always a hobby. So when I went ahead with Morgan Online Marketing, or MOM for short, I was like, well, I still want to kind of keep it separate. So there is actually a link on MOM that says blog. And if you click it, it says there's no blog here, but you can go to SEO now. But I didn't want to, like, combine the two. I was also worried Morgan Online Marketing is quite a corporate-y name. If I then stuck all the SEO no posts on it, even if I did keep it quite tongue-in-cheek and informal, I thought it might kind of kill the sort of, I don't know. I don't know. It's something that I kind of feel best to keep separate. However, I have considered rebranding Morgan Online Marketing. This is a... exclusive for you.
Exclusive, wow. Okay.
But only because I don't even know if I'm going to do it, so it's not exactly like exciting news because it may never even happen. But I was thinking that if I rebranded, I might then combine them at that point. So we'll see. The rebrand idea was, funny enough, actually, and this isn't so much of an exclusive because I kind of talked about it before, I think, to other people, but I was thinking of maybe hiring staff and instead of being a solo freelancer, becoming an agency. And I think rebranding then would make sense as well, because Morgan Online Marketing, I only ever envisaged as a name for like me on my own. Like I don't like the idea of having a company called Morgan Online Marketing and having staff. So if I hire staff, then I'll probably rebrand and I might merge the whole bunch together. That said, I was thinking of maybe when I, with SEO now, I've only ever kind of, because it was kind of a hobby and I kind of created it myself, I've always done everything on the cheap. And I've like always gone with like either free or very cheap themes and not really invested much money into it. But I'm starting to get to the point now where I'm thinking maybe I should like maybe get like a dedicated WordPress designer to actually create me like a custom theme, a bit like how I had Morgan Online Marketing created bespoke. So that's a consideration in the future as well. Oh, obviously,
wow. Like, I did there. Wow.
Yeah, it's there's a lot going on. It's not a lot going on. A lot that could happen, and that's the thing is I don't want to get SEO redesigned and then realize there will be rebranding, and then you know, so it's treading carefully, I guess, is the best way to put it. Trying to think what should I do first, when should I do it, that kind of thing.
Yeah, no, that makes sense, definitely. And I think the good thing about WordPress is that it has the scalability. You can grow with it. You know, some other CMS or whatever platform you use, you know, it kind of limit to what you can do, how you can grow and stuff like that. But with WordPress, you know, it's given you that platform to, okay, I've been doing this for 5 years, now I can move to the next level and move on to, if you want to, bigger things as well. So definitely, I always say that's one of the biggest benefits of WordPress. If you want to grow, it's definitely a good platform to use. One thing I've always wondered, and I have to ask you, why do you call your blog SEO No?
I don't know. I think it came out of, and not many people know this, but it's supposed to be like SEO No. I think only two people have ever gotten it. But I think a lot of people, the problem is as well, it's not the best name, because I think, well, it's got the word no in it, which is immediately negative. I think, the problem is as well is if it's written down all lowercase, which it would be as a domain, people think it's called SEONO. So if they don't necessarily know, especially if they don't know the acronym SEO, they might think it's pronounced, and so they don't see that it's a capital E, capital L, they might think it's called SEONO. So no, it's, I think it was just an idea I had, and the domain was available, is how I think a lot of these go.
Go for it.
Yeah, I think so, and it's kind of stuck ever since. I think, to be honest, about, if I remember correctly, a good like 6 months to a year into it, I was thinking I should probably change this thing, it's stupid. And I just kept it going, so I kind of, I've gotten fond of it over the years. It's kind of, I feel like I've kind of grown into it, so kind of like the longer it's gone on, the more I've liked it.
Yeah.
Weirdly enough, so.
And I think most people are familiar with it, SEO No, because, you know, you're out there, you're speaking, and people are familiar with your name. And I think, you know, you've mentioned on Twitter and so on that you have published a post on SEO No. I think a lot of people would get that, but I know what you mean. A lot of people also wouldn't. But having said that, one thing I do like about SEO No is that content there that, you know, it's not really the same as everyone else. So you do have some unique perspective into it and, you know, unique ideas and, you know, different perspective. So how, you know, people are always struggling to come up with, you know, ideas and post ideas and, you know, getting things that coming from your point of view that nobody else can claim as their own. You know, if sometimes if you have a breaking news, everyone can report on that. How would you go about creating a post, you know, that is just from your perspective and you can, you know, create a voice out of it yourself?
That's a really good question. I guess, I mean, I always try and talk from like experiences that have happened to me, so my story. So the post I mentioned earlier, it was really popular. That was simply just, it's about removing sandwich reviews from Google. And it was just, all it came about was, it wasn't like a full-on guide and things like that. It kind of accidentally turned into that. It was just, my parents had a slanderous review against them. It was quite obviously like a competitor who wrote it. It was slagging off my father, which is really funny because like he just completely, I was really like angry on his behalf and he was completely like, oh well. And I was just like, well, if that was me, I'd be going mental. And I just wrote about it. It affected me personally, it affected my family, and then I managed to get it removed. I kind of wrote it up as like a case study. And decided to knock it up, and it performed really well. And I think weirdly, like one of the bits of feedback I get from people is that they like the fact that it was kind of told as a story. Like it wasn't just me saying, hi, I'm going to tell you how to remove slanderous reviews from Google. It was actually like, guys, this happened to us and we managed to remove it. So I think a lot of my writing comes from something happening to me. And like, I tend to work off like two, one, a list of ideas I always have on the back burner. But also, even if I have that list, I'll randomly just have an idea for a post and think, oh, I've got to do this now. So, you know, you can't rely on just one or the other, because otherwise you'll just run out of ideas. But to go back to your initial question, I think... another thing as well is some people have given me the feedback saying I'm just really honest, which I used to be brutally honest, and I used to be quite, like, I wouldn't say negative, but I tell it as it is, and to the point where, like, I remember I did a blog post disagreeing with somebody's view on, like this guy who's written books and stuff said social media is a waste of time, don't do it. So I wrote a post. It wasn't slagging him off. It was basically just disagreeing with him. And he majorly, like, kicked off at me. And so I'm a lot more careful these days, because I had a few, too many instances like that where I just end up getting into Twitter fights. But I do feel, I think some people hold back, and maybe more than they should do. Whether it's a case of, I mean, it's easy for me because I'm self-employed. I know that if I say something really stupid, it's me who's going to suffer the consequences. It's a lot easier said than done. If someone's like an employee of an agency and they're writing for the agency's blog, it's understandable. They're not going to probably make some sort of ridiculously outlandish statement unless the agency's like that and welcomes it. But I do think that maybe, and the other side of it is, I think people are worried, oh, if I say something too outlandish, what if I'm wrong and it backfires? I mean, I've probably said some stupid things. I remember someone quite big on the SEO field basically just turning around and saying to me, Steve, you're wrong. This is why. And I was like, oh. So, but the fact of the matter is we're all learning, and like those opportunities have been few and far between. But there are the times when I've probably, you know, been a bit more honest. And like you said, it's about putting your own angle and your own spin on it. And maybe saying something about a topic that nobody else is saying. Because people are like too, maybe they're not confident enough in saying it, or what have you. I think that's kind of helped sort of win over people in the past.
I think it makes sense though that you said that, you know, a lot of the content that you created is about something that happened to you. And the best example is because you, you know, speak at different conferences, you report on that as well, that you have spoke about X, Y, and Z. I think the most recent post you've done is about the Brighton SEO talk that you've done, so you publish your content about it, here's what I talked about. So yeah, that's something that, you know, nobody can replicate, because it's your content, your conference, you spoke it, so which makes a lot of sense, and that adds a unique context to it. So definitely makes sense.
Even like, that's one thing I'm always really conscious and careful of, is I don't want to do a talk at a conference or write a blog post that somebody's pretty much already done. And there was a post I did a few months ago just saying about, again, based on my own experiences, there's a band I liked, and they had, their Twitter name was taken, so they just put a number one at the end. And I hate it when people do that. So I wrote about how, look for alternatives. And in the end, I ended up writing a post that was just still very much similar to, like, what other people had already, because if you Google, like, Twitter name alternative ideas or something like that, there's already people who've written exactly what I put. And even in that instance, I tried to make the post a little bit different, a little bit unique. I tried to give it an edge. So it's something I'm always watching out for and always being careful of. I don't want to end up writing something and somebody just says, hey, I've pretty much written the exact same thing over here. Because, there's times when I've seen people accused of, like, plagiarism for doing that, even if it was completely coincidental. And at the same time, what's the point in telling something in a way that's already been told by somebody else? So it's always nice, and it's always good fun to kind of put your own version of it.
Yeah, no, I get what you're saying. So if we talk about the whole, the WordPress side of things as well, I don't know about you, but I hear a lot of doubts about using WordPress. People talk about it and think, oh, I'm not sure about WordPress because of X, Y, and Z. What would you say to those who have doubts about using WordPress?
The funny thing is, I think people have doubts about WordPress. The two main reasons are, one, they think it's just a blogging platform. They don't realize, oh, like, Morgan R. Martin doesn't have a single blog post on it. It's just pages. And also, I think some people think because it's free, it's a hobby thing. And as soon as you say to people, oh, I'm trying to think, I can't think of the examples off the top of my head, but some of the biggest websites in the world are powered on WordPress. I think Mashable might be one of them.
Yep.
Or similar to that. And as soon as you say to people, oh, these very big websites are powered on WordPress, like household names, they're like, oh, okay, then. That's kind of like, you know, because I think there's that, especially when you're dealing with big brands, they immediately think, oh, WordPress is too small for us. We need to have just a big, you know, our own CMS system or some, you know, some of these that start a crazy like money, like six figures, and then they also maintain it. But, you know, and I say to people like that, I've worked on some of those CMS systems and they're not as good as WordPress. And it's almost like the complete reverse of what you get with what you pay for. It's like WordPress is like the cheaper, freer route. And it usually tends to be 10 times better than the ones that cost, you know, thousands, tens, hundreds of thousands of pounds. And then you're stuck with something that might not even be like editable, or, you know, you're doing like SEO stuff for it and you're like, oh, sorry, I can't do this, that, or the other, because your CMS system doesn't allow it. Whereas WordPress, hey, I'm going to plug in. So yeah, it's, I think the biggest stigma though is the kind of big brands, using it, or ones to use it. So as soon as you say, oh, other big brands are using it, they're usually sold by that point.
No, just to follow up on that, I just want to, you know, yes, obviously mention to the point that, you know, big brands definitely use it. And one of my first blog posts that I've written are the top 99 brands in the world who uses WordPress. And so it took me a long time to put together. But I wanted to make a point, which is exactly what you said, is that there are big, big names out there who uses it. And I think not a lot of people know, for example, Facebook, they use it as their own blog as well. Even celebrities like Beyonce use it to power her own website. And, you know, there are some e-commerce sites that use it as well. So I'll put the link in the show note again. But it's one of the big points that I always make, is that some of the biggest brands in the world, they use WordPress. So if they use it and it's good enough for them, it's good enough for you. Definitely.
Absolutely. And another point I just remembered is also because it's the more popular platform, there's more designers and developers who are fluent in it. So I always say to people who say, oh no, I want to use Squarespace or I want to use Craft or something like that, I say, well, the problem is if you ask me, like, if you build it yourself and then you say, or you ask me to build it and then you say you want somebody else to sort of take it over, then, like, for me, I only know one person who designs Squarespace websites. But I know about a dozen people who design WordPress. So I could say to them, listen, if you just get with Squarespace website done and then you want somebody to give you a hand, I can only recommend one person to you. But if you have go with WordPress, then, you know, you can take your pick. There's loads of people who know how to use it. So it's a lot more, it's flexible in the future insofar as that if you need a helping hand, there's more helping hands out there as well, which I think is a sort of added benefit that people forget.
Yeah, no, I know what you mean. It's such a big market for WordPress and a lot of people out there. Maybe it's more difficult to choose from, but at least you know that there's you know, plenty of quality developers, designers, and so on out there to help you with what you need. So, you know, in terms of, you know, both sides of your website, however you want to put it, if you had to start all over again, what would you do differently?
Oh, in terms of the website development side of it?
Well, like, yeah, in terms of your website, and even from your own business perspective as well, what, you know, if you want to combine that together, what would you do?
I think I would have, well, the point I made earlier on about how I was on WordPress hosting, so WordPress.com for the first few months, if I'd have known, and I would have gone straight with self-hosting straight away. Because there were a couple of, like, legacy issues and a couple of things. I think some things didn't transfer across properly, or the images are hosted differently or something. I can't quite remember, to be honest with you. It was such a long time ago. But even now, like, I doubt people are reading really, really old posts, but it just makes me wonder. It would have been a lot cleaner, I think, if I'd gone straight day one, had been self-hosted. But you don't know what you don't know. And at the time, I didn't know. So if I were to start all over again, I'd definitely just go self-hosted straight away, which is what I've been doing since with other WordPress websites, to be fair.
Yeah. No, I think definitely a good point. Anybody want to start a website? I think even if it's not a business website, if you want to, you know, make a statement for yourself or about, you know, your hobby you're passionate about, and you want to really build and build and build, you know, self-hosting is definitely the way forward for me, instead of using the WordPress.com, especially if you're really passionate about growing your website and growing your visibility. So definitely agree with you on that 100%. So so what would you, this is what gonna get interesting, like an interview, what would you be your biggest strength?
Biggest strength in terms of, sorry, blogging or business or?
Well, let's just say,
generally.
let's just say in your business, you know, in terms of managing your own freelancing, self-employment, what would you say is your biggest strength?
I hate the biggest strength question. Yeah, I know.
Everyone says that. It's like an interview.
Everything comes across as cocky and arrogant. I think I'm lucky in that, like, I've built up a good network over the years locally. Like, I think one thing that's funny as well is, you'll know this, working in SEO, is as an industry, we all know, like, other SEOs around the UK.
Yep.
But a lot of my business comes from people in South Wales who, you know, completely different kettle of fish pool of people, if you will. And I think I've always been lucky in that, like, I hate saying gift of the gab and stuff like that. I actually think I'm not very good at sales. But I do think that, like, I'm not a big fan of sales, but I like networking. So I like meeting people and, like, telling them about SEO or, like, you know, asking them about their issues and problems with SEO. And kind of, I sell myself that way. I probably sell myself by giving away too much information that I should be billing for. So I guess, and apart from two small, like, smallish dips in the last 3 years, there's most of the time I've been pretty much consistently at full capacity, or at least like a decent amount. There's only been two times, the first time being one of the first few months where, like, I've not had enough work coming in.
Yeah.
So I think the good thing is kind of, I always know that if there is a quiet time, I know, like, I've got some people who I've even got a bit of a, this is why I hate saying it, I've even got, like, a little bit of a waiting list where people say, as soon as you've got any capacity, let us know. So, but, like, it's kind of networking over the years. And my tip and trick for networking, especially for, and it sounds like you're kind of doing this anyway, Alan, is go to non-SEO meetups.
Mm-hmm.
So the problem is, I mean, don't get me wrong, I've had business through, like, probably SEO, but I used to go to Cardiff Blogs, there's a web development meetup, there's a designer meetup, and I've kind of, those small groups have gotten to be known as, like, the go-to SEO guy in Cardiff. So that's where the good thing is if you go to those kinds of events, that's really good. And if you kind of just, you obviously don't go there to sell, a lot of them are like social events, you just go there to kind of meet people and chat and, like, maybe even give them a bit of, like, free SEO advice. So if it's like a WordPress, you know, meetup, kind of, you know, any issues with Yoast they might be having and things like that. Because those people say, oh, I'll put Yoast on it. I know Yoast, but I've not done anything with it. And then you're like, wow, let me tell you. So that's kind of worked well for me. I think my biggest strength is probably networking.
Definitely, you know, you mentioned about going to meetup groups, so which are not necessarily related to SEO and stuff like that. I agree with you. I mean, I think most people who are familiar with myself, that I daily, well, monthly, join up with the WordPress meetup group in Edinburgh. And, fair enough, it's related to WordPress, it's what I do, but, you know, none of them there, or very few of them, are talking about SEO and digital marketing. A lot of them are from different variety of background, whether it's developer or they are business owners. I totally agree that when you are in a different kind of meetup group to your specialist knowledge, if you like, it does open up a whole new world of community to talk to mingle with and to get involved with. And it really, really makes it very, very interesting. And you never know. They could help with your business in the long term. I've had that experience myself. And yeah, it wasn't deliberate. You know, I was there for a year just, you know, having a chat with everyone else, but somehow it kind of benefited me in the business sense as well. So, I definitely agree with that. Probably a good thing.
Cool.
So, you've just said as well, you said you're not the best at sales. I was going to ask you, what's your biggest weakness? And, you know, you mentioned the sales part, what you're saying is you go around it by networking. I'm just trying to work out what's your weakness.
Yeah, how'd you go around? I'm not hard sell at all, and I joke with people saying that my approach to sales is anti-sell, so I don't pretty much sell myself at all. I kind of just get to know people, chat to people, and I give, you know, tidbits, I guess, that kind of thing, rather than being like, oh my god, I'm the best SEO ever, hire me today please. So yeah, sales is still, like, I'm probably a bit too soft on the sales in terms of, like, sending out proposals, like, actually, like, chasing them up and stuff like that. Again, I'm not hard sell, so I don't like to be on people's backs being like, hey, have you read my proposal yet? I think calling sales my biggest weakness would be silly, because I have, you know, managed to, like, get people in through the door. I'm trying to think of actually what my biggest sales weakness is. At the moment, it feels like time management. and knowing when to outsource and when not to outsource. So one of my USPs actually is that I don't outsource. So I say to people, I do it all myself, because I don't like agencies who say, I actually came across a design agency locally to me who big themselves up as some of the smartest designers in Cardiff. And when I visited them at their office, they showed me around. I was like, so where are the designers? And they said, oh, we don't employ any. We just have account managers. And they actually outsource all design. So they don't do any design. They're a design agency. So I can't stand companies who say they do it and then outsource it all. But I do outsource little bits and bobs, mostly copywriting. And if I need a helping hand, like if I've accidentally bitten off a bit more than I can chew, or if I need like a fresh pair of eyes on a project or that kind of thing. So I think sometimes like I'm always reluctant to outsource, and maybe I need to do it a little bit more. Or as I mentioned to you earlier, if I remember staff, then that'll take care of the problem anyway. So it's almost like, I think that's kind of one of the biggest weaknesses at the moment. The weakness seems to change all the time. It used to be sales, and now it's magically making the time appear to, you know, do the work.
Well, you live and learn, don't you? You don't know until
later, though. That's the thing. Even 3 years into this, I still haven't found that sweet spot of like the perfect amount of work. It's either too much or too little all the time.
I agree with you on that. It's definitely, it's fair enough. You know, if you don't experience it, you don't know what your weaknesses are. So until you get through to it and then you know what your weakness is, then you sort it out. So, better to go through it than to avoid it is what I think anyway. So from your perspective, from your, you've been in the industry for a long time. What do you predict will happen in the future in terms of, SEO?
Ooh, okay. So my whole sort of approach is, the way I sort of sell myself is I'm not just your outsourced SEO person. I'm not someone who goes away and does it all. And admittedly, there are some things I can do without burning the client at all, like SEO, technical SEO tweaks and tidying up WordPress. But I say to clients, especially when it comes to like link building, the more they get involved and the more they invest, the better the results they can expect. And it's something that like when I started sharing about it like 2-3 years ago, I felt like I was like one of the only people kind of doing this approach, to the point where I was like, is this right? Should I be doing this? But there was a blog post by, I don't know if you're familiar with Jono Alderson from LinkDex. Mm-hmm. He did a blog post recently saying that he predicts that agencies are going to start moving to this model, where you're kind of more of a helping hand to a client who does it internally, rather than they're like outsourced, you know, completely external party. So that was reassuring to me, because I was like, hey, I'm on the right lines of this thing after all. And it's just something I think is going to happen more and more. So I think more and more businesses are going to wake up and adopt the idea where they realize that, you know, SEO doesn't just happen magically. You can't just pay an SEO X number of £100 per month and then, you know, it equates to rankings if you're not willing. And I had a client once who didn't want to do blogging, didn't want to do any sort of content at all, didn't want to make many changes to their website, didn't want to do any sort of promotion off-site. And I was like, well, you can't just magically expect to rank without wanting to do all that stuff. So that's one thing I think is going to happen. I think there's going to be that sort of mindset shift internally, especially in in-house roles, where they realize that agencies aren't just people that like just do work completely separately and siloed. It's a more of a to and fro and more of a collaborative approach. And I mean, I'm being a bit unfair when I say in-house and making it sound like big brands, but I think it's a bigger challenge for small businesses. Some of my clients are literally just like the business owner, and there might be just a couple of people in the business, and they're always frantically busy. But it's just trying to make sure that they're still doing their bit and making sure they know that if they're investing money in content and in other various bits and pieces, that it's going to be helping them in the long run, and just making them realize that they've got to, the more they get involved, better it's
going to
be.
That sounds good. No, I definitely agree with that. I think most people don't understand that. Fair enough, we can, you know, if we want to help you with your website, we'll do that. But at the end of the day, you as a business owner, a site owner, you know the audience, you know your customers better than us. So combine that skill together, you know, you can do a lot of things. So
that's exactly it.
I definitely agree with that. I will link to that article by Jono. I think I'm familiar with the content. I need to read it again. That's actually very good. So I'm going to link to that in the show notes as well. So what advice would you give to those who want to start their own online marketing business, or even who want to start their own career in online marketing, digital marketing, SEO, however way we are going to call it?
Okay, I'll answer both of them separately. So people who may already be in the industry who are thinking of going self-employed, whether it's freelance or their own agency, don't make the mistake I made. Make sure you've got a bit of freelance work going on in the background and do it gradually. So you've got, it's going to be stressful, but stressful anyway, but it's towards the end of your full-time gig, make sure you've got a couple of freelance clients on the side. And then transition when you've got enough, so that if you go, you may not be full capacity after leaving your full-time job, but you've got enough to kind of, you know, get your income going. And in terms of people starting to get in the industry, it's interesting you say that, actually, because I've given quite a few talks to students recently and to people who, I was meant to give a talk to, it's tied to Job Centre Plus or that kind of thing. Unfortunately, I had to cancel. That would have been people who were like young people who didn't necessarily go to university, but struggling to get a job. And I would have just said, SEO is huge at the moment. There's always that sort of joking thing where people say, oh, SEO is dead and that kind of thing. And it's a fad. But yeah, if anything, it's getting more and more popular. It's getting more and more important. And businesses are realizing more and more they need it. I say to people, the demand is huge, especially in South Wales at the moment. So if they're, and it's easier to learn these days as well, because there's more resources. So like Moz's Beginner's Guide, there's Distilled You, things like that. It's a bit like, you know, it's the SEO's equivalent of things like Code Academy and Treehouse and things like that. So I think if people want to learn to get into SEO and then kind of just learn off their own accord, and especially don't just learn and then do it for clients, just get your own website, get your own blog, and, you know, I don't want to say experiment on that, but you could just do something with it, and then you'll notice you pick up on things on that as well. So I think that's some of the best ways to get into SEO if you're starting now these days.
I can vouch for that, because for me, I managed to get a job in e-commerce, helping them with their online website, getting their rank and so on and so forth. But for me personally, I managed to improve my knowledge and allowed me to experiment a lot by owning my own website, just for fun, just to play around and tinker with, just to get an idea of how it all works out there. And I can definitely vouch that that's what I've done about, 8 years ago, and then kept on doing it on the side, at home, or whatever. So definitely agree with you on that. Get a website and start experimenting and playing around with it. And yeah, it's the way for me. So, sounds good. So, just to wrap it all up then, if you want to get all sentimental about it, what are you most proud about in your business?
So the campaign I did for my parents' business a year and a half ago, I was really proud of that. It got 2 nominations in the UK Search Awards last year for best use of content and best low budget. It was basically my parents' 25th, the business's 25th anniversary. So I said, let's just do something a bit special. Let's do a blog. This is the one I mentioned earlier. They didn't have a blog on their own website. So I was like, let's create a separate blog on a separate domain and publish 25 blog posts in 1 month. So that's basically one every day except for Sundays, roughly. And it gave me a chance to experiment as well, because they were really open to it. They were like, just, you know, I don't want to say they were saying do what you want, but they weren't like careful about, like they weren't saying, oh, the content has to be this particular way. So they were game for experimentation. So some of the posts were quite standard. There's things like what jobs will we see in the future, and are more and more people working remotely. So kind of your bog standard blog posts relating to like employment, and it's IT recruitment in particular. So that opened up a whole other realm of things. But we kind of experimented with the content, and so one of them was like a interactive timeline that was used. A lot of it was actually done on the cheap with free WordPress plugins. So I managed to create a interactive timeline of 25 years worth of like IT historical milestones that was using a free plugin. We had a multiple choice quiz tied into a competition that was with a free plugin. We did a few expert roundups, which I know have a bit of a fishy reputation depending on who you ask, but they worked really well. We asked rather than asking other recruiters, we asked employers, what do you look for in an employee? And some of the findings were really good, and it was a really good way to get onto the radar. Some of them were current clients, But some of them were like people that I just knew. And in fact, one of them then became a client afterwards. So it was just even asking them for content led to an inquiry, which is really something I've never known of before. What else did we do? We did all sorts. One that I'm still updating even today is a list of a map of all the co-working spaces in South Wales. So I still keep it up to date, even though the campaign was like came out a year and a half ago. And the map is like a custom Google map. Color-coded pins, depending on the branding of the space. So that's quite good. That's been handy. And that's given me an excuse to like share that loads of places. Like there's a Facebook group of entrepreneurs in Cardiff, and they hate self-promotion. But somebody went on there the other day and said, oh, anyone got a list of co-working spaces? And I went, here you go. And they didn't mind that because it was genuinely like helping. I was just literally just passing this on this resource. So that was a campaign I was really proud about. And the first time I spoke at Brighton SEO, I gave, that was what my talk was on. I gave loads of different examples of the content that we produced. And it was a lot of fun as well. You know, SEO and content marketing doesn't have to be boring. It can be fun if you let it.
Okay, definitely. I'm not surprised you're proud about that. I think I've seen the content that you're talking about, and it is very, very good. And it just shows
Thank
as well
you.
That you know, it doesn't matter what industry you're in, you can create something very, very interesting, and you know, and you can really do something with it as well, whether it's for exposure or whether for, you know, getting more clients or customers, so on and so forth. Everyone has a chance to gain some exposure, big or small. So that's definitely one thing that I've learned from that as well. So, I appreciate you sharing that story. It's very, very, really good. And even in general, everything that we talked about, I mean, I hope the listeners can see that there's a lot going on in SEO, and there will still be going on in SEO. And I think, forever, there will be something going on. So, I really appreciate your time and sharing your wisdom and stuff like that. And they've really given you your insights in your words as well. So,
thank you. People want to, I appreciate you having me on.
Oh, no, please, the pleasure is mine as well. So, not a problem at all. If people want to find you online, connect with you, where can they find you?
Right. Twitter is StevieFil. So that's spelled StevieFil. And my blog is SEONO.co.uk. And my freelance website is MorganOnlineMarketing.co.uk.
And I will make sure I will link to all of those in the show notes so people can find it. So, Stevie, thank you again for coming on, and we'll definitely catch up again sometime down the line to see how you're going as well.
Absolutely. Thank you, Ahmed.
And that is it. Thank you again, Steve, for coming to the show. It was really, really good to chat to you. I really appreciate your time and for sharing some of your insights with all of us. There's so many things I picked up from this interview, and one of them is about owning your own site, owning your own content by self-hosting your WordPress site, and also about how you can also come up with your own content based on what you have gone through, your own personal life as well, which is very, very useful. But I have also picked up that, you know, you can also tell that Steve has bided his time by getting to know the industry before he even started freelancing. He worked hard, worked even harder probably when it comes to freelancing. He got himself out there, and now he is thinking about expanding as well. Patience is a virtue, as the saying goes. So thank you for listening to this episode. You can check out the show notes on igniterock.com/episode6, where I have placed all the links to everything we've talked about and for details about this show as well. Just want to ask one thing. If you could subscribe to my podcast on iTunes, that would be totally awesome. It would help me to reach and teach more people about WordPress, which is ultimately what I want to do. In the meantime, let's rock with WordPress.